On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show with Aaron the Power Bauer, the Reggae Warrior, Ross Peltier, the Italian Stallion, or Mini, Elliot Minchella, and Robbie Hunter Paul.
Good evening, welcome to the Robbie Hunter Paul Show, minus Robbie Hunter Paul, of course, this week. We've had a little bit of an upgrade. We've traded out Robbie, who's on his bike ride to London for the Challenge Cup final. We've brought in the happiest man in Bradford, the only man, the only Bradfordian smiling inside Oddsall on Sunday afternoon, Leon Price, alongside Ross Peltier. Boys, how are you?
All good.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Yep. One happier than the other?
No, he should be happy. He just had a baby girl. Baby boy. I apologise.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. And then, yeah, it's bad weekend, wasn't it?
But got your sleeping pattern in order yet, Pelts?
Nope.
No.
Nah.
I've had none. What's his name? Isaac.
Yeah.
Isaac Ross.
Yeah.
Is he going to take after you? Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, finally got him home last night, about 2 weeks morning, but yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Come cope in the hospital, so we got discharged at like 2 in the morning, so I'm at home now. But yeah, so good week, really. But
it's a good week. It's a good week.
It's a good week, yeah.
More to life than RL. But in terms of the RL, Leon, spoilers, weren't you? Sunday. Turned up, got the job done. Good performance from your boys.
Yeah, it was a good performance.
Didn't you think you called it? Did I read it? You said it was the best of the year from your boys?
Yeah, it was. I think we still could have lost the game. We still nearly threw it away. We found a way to win. It was a tough game, and that's what you want. You don't want to be playing in 50-60 nilers. No. You know, fans don't want to watch that. And I think it surprised the fans a bit how competitive it was. I think when you're used to watching blowouts every week, and then all of a sudden, it's a tough game.
Yeah.
But you don't want to watch. You want to watch tough games.
Yeah,
I'd rather play a Bradford, a York, an Oldham every week.
Yeah, I think probably most fans would agree as well. It's great to watch. You're touching teams up by 100, but at the same time, you want to see some compelling rugby, don't you? And I think we touched on it with your guys running. You've got 4 tough games left before the playoffs, and that's exactly what you want, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's same for when you're coaching. Like when you're coaching against, Coventry or something like that, you don't really prepare with video because you know that you're just going to play to your own structures. But when you're playing against Bradford, you've got to analyse all the players, cut more video, do some more video on yourselves. Make sure your tactics are bang on. You're looking for areas in the field where you think they've got a weakness. So you've got to test yourself as well as a coach and to make sure you get the training right, the areas right to attack, what points of the field you're going to play from, you know, if you're going to go straight up the middle in yardage or if you're going to shift on them. You've got to think of all these things, whereas when you're playing against the lower teams, it's just go and play.
Was it a strange afternoon, personally, Leon, going back there for the first time on the opposition side as a coach?
I've played there as a player since 2006, so I know what it's like to be there as opposition and different as a coach. I just found it strange. Like, I found it strange people laying into me because we won.
Doing your job.
What am I supposed to do? It's strange.
Pelt setting loads of fake accounts up on Twitter and giving Leon some abuse.
And you.
I couldn't understand that. I still can't understand that. Why would you have a go at him for, you know... Like you said, he hadn't played at Bradford since 2006. Well, he came back for a bit, but did his job, innit? He came to do a job. He's done his job.
In terms of yourself, Ross, and the Bulls, obviously you weren't playing on Sunday, but... obviously throws everything into chaos a little bit now, doesn't it? How do you go about approaching these final 4 games?
Yeah, it's messed up my plans, really. But
holidays on ice and everything like that.
Yeah. Do you know what it is? I think a few of us had that trophy in cabinet already, and we thought, you know, we'd done it and we've come undone against York and working in 2 tough games, you know. We've had a look at it this week and we've just looked where we've been daft. Like Leon says, there were chances where they could have lost it and we could have held on to the game, but we didn't do it. This week, we've just in for a tough week, having a long look at everything and just fix it up, because we've got to dust ourselves off and do it hard way, I reckon, now. So, we've got to rely on York slipping up, which I doubt will happen.
Well, it might happen. Because York's next game, they've got to go all the way up to Cumbria and face Leon Price's Workington.
Yeah, it just depends what kind of team I put out. I'm not right sure what team.
what kind of mood you're in?
I'm thinking about resting all my star players, so I don't know. All the Bradford's fans give me grief for no reason. I might give them a reason to hate me now.
They won't let you back in. They'll be waiting for you top at 6:06 when you've got over.
I'll be there ready.
Obviously, losing on Sunday, you want to probably get straight back in and get playing. This 2 week break, I guess you're all stewing a little bit now, pelts out. You just want to get back out there and start putting things right.
Yeah, everyone is. Me personally, you know, I was frustrated to miss that game. You know, it'd been a difficult week for me, and John had decided, to go a different direction. Which
I'm glad it did, by the way. even though we'd have spotted you up and made your life hell, he's still not nice tackling a big guy.
Yeah.
And they missed the big guys at weekend, big time.
But so
it was good for us. I were happy you weren't playing, Ross.
I think it's a good game to come into though, Keithley, in 2 weeks. You know, a big game for us. Local derby, you know.
Where's it at?
Also, there's been a bit of bad blood between two sides, you know, from pre-season, and we played them again. There's been a few
wonder scraps, why has there been some bad blood, Ross?
I might have been part of that, but
spouting off.
Yeah, it'll be a good one for us to get his head
that
on.
Scrum
half, yeah.
Though, that scrum half's gone, he causes all trouble, doesn't he? What's his name?
Might be Harold, he's gone. But I think,
or Ben Hardcastle.
I don't know, either one of them.
The little small scrum half who tried fighting with me when I played.
Insignificant side of Bradford, didn't it really? But
save it for next week.
But yeah, we just want to get straight back in, you know. And it's a good game to test itself. I think we need to get that edge back like we had earlier in the year. I think our best form came too early.
Yeah.
So sometimes you can play your best stuff too early. I think that might have happened to us. Yeah.
You agree with Leon as well that important to get some tough games in. If it's going to be the playoffs, obviously you want to win the comp, but if it's going to be the playoffs, important to have some tough games as well in the road to it.
Yeah, it's important to have some tough games, you know, and test yourself, because too many times in this league we've gone like winning 70, 80, another like 70, and then all of a sudden we're in a tough game now. Yeah. We're not sure how to cope with it. But yeah, we've got Oldham, we've got Keighley, so hopefully they'll give us a good test for playoffs.
In terms of this year, Leon, I think you were quite open about, look, let's just see where it takes us this year, first year in charge. Exceeding expectations, running third, or where you hoped you'd be at this point going into the final stretch?
Yeah, I think we're far exceeding expectations. I think we'd have been happy just with top five. But listen, we're still a long way off. We've got some tough games. We could drop right down. Yeah. We could even drop out of the playoffs if results around us don't go well and we don't perform.
You play a lot around you, don't you, as well, in that final four?
Yeah. So things can still... We're not counting as chickens yet. We're not counting as eggs. Is it what's the saying?
Chickens.
What's the saying? Don't count your eggs before they're hatched.
There's some saying like that.
Don't count your chickens. So anyway, listen, we're just keeping it realistic. We're going one game at a time, the greatest cliche in the world. One game at a time. And we've got York next.
Good stuff. Look, everyone's got a break this week. Obviously, we touched on it for the cup final. I guess we'll go into it in a little bit more depth after the break. But just before we go out... looking forward to it. It's going to be a little bit of a different occasion, isn't it? It's going to have a little bit of a weird feel to it, Wembley. I guess everyone, all the neutrals are rooting for one side. How are you viewing the cup final this weekend, boys?
I'm excited for it. You know, that semi-final Catalan played were awesome. You know, me watching it as a front rower, I admired it. You know, Sam Ower and them boys rolling down pitch. It's a style of rugby I enjoy to see. And, you know, like every neutral, I'm excited for it. I hope Catalan do a shock, man.
Yeah, Leon?
Obviously, being an ex-Catalan, I really, really hope they win. I echo what Ross says. The semi-final against the Netherlands, they took the game to another level. Probably a level they've not been at for maybe ever. I don't know if I've seen Catalan play that well.
In such
a big game against a team that nobody wanted to play against. So for me, if they can find anywhere near that form, I think it's going to be a Dragons win, a historic win.
Does that semi-final performance make them favourites? And if so, is that a difficult mindset for them to have? Because they've never really been the favourites in a massive game, have they?
I think at the time, you would say yes, the favourites, but the two games after have been dreadful.
Yeah.
So it kind of throws...
They've left a lot out, haven't they?
But you just don't know where you're at. Yeah. You don't know what's going to turn up on... I don't know what's going to turn up on Saturday.
Yeah, the momentum's gone, hasn't it?
It's gone, yeah. So, favourites from that match, but the two matches after have been that bad and that big blowouts that... You don't know where they're going to be at. But listen, I do know Frenchies. I do know the Frenchies and the Dragons pretty well. I know they can turn up for a one-off big game. I think this is going to be the one.
You mentioned the big men up front as well, Ross. It's been a lot about Drinkwater, Gigo, the lads in the back, but they've had a great platform to build on, haven't they, with Bousquet, Casty and everyone like that?
Yeah, they've built a massive platform for them, you know, Bousquet, Samoa, all them boys, they've absolutely smoked St Helens.
Biggest one for me there that you mentioned, didn't mention, is Mickey McLaurin.
Yeah, Mickey,
if comes out flying, everybody else follows suit.
I think Steve's definitely trying to put a bit of an English stamp on Catalans and try and change the way they play, and it's just
Mickey Mack did some damage that first 15 minutes. Everybody were getting the Saints lads were like looking around, where is it? And he was smoking people. If he comes out like that the weekend, it could be fun,
I guess we'll go into Warrington a little bit later on, but they've done a little bit better than Catalans in this break for the final. How important is it to go into Wembley, Leon, in your experience, playing well and winning games?
Yeah, I think I'd rather go into the games. If I'm going to have a week off, I'd have just rest a couple a week before. But I think you need momentum. I'd rather play. As a player, I wouldn't want to miss out. I'd rather miss the game after Wembley than the games before. Because I've always, the times that were leading up, I was really never struggling with injuries. I'm always fit. So I'd rather play. Yeah. Just play me. Let me keep my match fitness, because having a game off did me no favours. Yeah. When I come back, I feel tired. So I'd just rather just play, keep your form, keep your players around you, keep your combinations, try and keep your energy levels and your combination, and then just play the final. And then I'd rather have a rest after that, after being on drink all day Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Good stuff. Well, we're going to go to a break. Afterwards, we're going to speak to Robbie, who's on his way down to London as we speak. But before that, we're going to do the travel.
It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show, live on Pulse 2, with me, Aaron Bauer, Leon Price and Ross Peltier. And with it being the Challenge Cup final this weekend at Wembley, Robbie is away. He's unbelievably decided to take on a challenge to cycle all the way to Wembley. We didn't think he'd even get halfway. I think he's past that now. We're going to find out exactly where he is, because live on the phone now, the man himself, Robbie Hunter-Paul. Robbie, are you there?
Good evening, gentlemen. I hope everyone's having a good evening. We've literally just landed. Chipping Norton. I have no idea where that is in the world. I've got to admit, I'll never look down my nose at anyone that does endurance sport ever again in my life. This is by far the toughest thing. As someone who's 22, 23 stone run over top of me every day of the week, ever doing this again. And it's actually quite cool, because I've got last year's winning captain, Gareth Ellis, with me as well. So I'm sure you guys want to have a quick word with him.
We'll have a word with Gaz in a minute, Rob. Just first of all, just tell us why you're doing it, what the cause is and everything like that, and how people can get involved and get some donations sent your way.
Yeah, okay, no problem. Look, we've been trying to promote it over the last couple of months. If you don't follow my social media, if you try and follow my social media, you'll see everything, because it's basically all I've done for 2 months. We're raising funds for Rugby League Cares. Obviously, Rugby League Cares, well, if you don't know Rugby League Cares looks after the welfare of not just the players in the game, it's players that have retired and players that are coming up through the game, trying to get them thinking about life after rugby. But not only that, they also do work in and around the rugby league community as well. So they've got the offload program that are encouraging men to come and start opening up, getting in touch with their feelings. They also work with Movember and a number of other different charities. So it's a multi-mix, but obviously because it's a Challenge Cup, Rugby League Cares, it's driven by Rugby League Cares. And great, we've got ex-players involved. We've got Gareth Ellis, Paul Highton, former Wales international, Nathan McAvoy, Andy Lynch, both former England players, Mick Cassidy, former Great Britain international and Irish international. We've got Keith Senior, who's actually driving this support truck. to be honest, we turn up and we see Keith here and there, we thought, oh, well, he's just taking the mick, driving around. But every time we see him now, we like want to give him a big cutter, because we're so tired and we're so beat up from the long, long journey. It has been an eye-opening experience. I wouldn't say a life-changing experience, but definitely an eye-opening experience. My body is in absolute bits and pieces.
Sound like you're feeling it, Rob. So we'll have a chat with someone else. We'll have a chat with Gaz Ellis.
I'll just hand you over to him.
Yeah, excellent. Gareth, thanks for joining us on the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show. Robbie says it's one of the hardest things he's ever had to do in his entire life. Do you agree with that sentiment?
Well, done some tough things in my life, but it's definitely up there. It's prepared. I thought it was good because we're not actually moving that fast, but the terrain that we're on, we're bumping up and down. So we've got some sore backsides, some big climbs. So it's challenging, and the long days to be out there. But yeah, like you said, it's nice. Kingston, the best site we have all day.
In terms of Wembley, obviously that's where your end goal is and that's where you're heading for this weekend. Just talk us through the emotions and the experiences of lifting that cup up in the air at Wembley. I imagine there's not many things, if anything, as a rugby league player that beats it.
How things change, I remember last 2 years I'm lifting the Challenge Cup.
Yeah.
This year I'm having to really ride a bike.
just to get in. There,
but, to get in. But no, honestly, like, obviously I've won and lost at Wembley and they're two very, very different experiences. And I know which side I preferred, but the last couple of years, particularly 2016, being the first time, obviously, that Hull had lifted the Challenge Cup at Wembley, was just an unforgettable experience. And then to back it up in 2017 was absolutely phenomenal. And I've said it before, but I sometimes worry that I'll never feel as happy as I ever again, you know. But then you've got to look back and think, well, at least I got the opportunity to do that. You know, most people, even rugby league fans, just look on in admiration and in hope that they would ever get the chance to play there as a kid like I did. So for me to, you know, even now, when you reflect on your career, you get to look at pictures of you lifting the Challenge Cup, something that, you know, dreams are made of.
What are you expecting on Saturday, Gaz? Not necessarily in terms of the game, but in terms of the overall experience and the occasion, because it's going to be a very different day with Catalans involved, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. But you know, it's one of those occasions when, you know, and I think even maybe more so with the drive from the rugby to get as many people there. You know, it's no secret. You know, there is going to be probably less people there than there normally is because of the fact that Catalans are there. So. But I'm sure that still sets it up for a great atmosphere. I'm sure both sets of fans will be looking forward to it. And not just that, like I said, it's a day. It's normally a weekend out for most people. I've got friends that go every year, regardless who's playing. And that's the beauty of the Challenge Cup. It's the sort of the showpiece event for the RFL, and rightfully so. It's steeped in history, and it's something we should be really, really proud of.
There is always talk, certainly in the last year or so, that the RFL, or certainly some people involved, might try and get it away from Wembley, or try and move it away from Wembley. Would that be the end of the Challenge Cup in your eyes, or how big a move? Go on.
I think you'll take a lot away from it. I really do. I played at Cardiff when I first joined the league in 2005, and even then I remember thinking, I wish it was at Wembley. I wish it was at Wembley. You know, because I grew up, you know, going to Wembley. Watched Castleford there a few times, and. You know, that's what I was thinking when we were at Cardiff. You know, relive those fond memories that I had watching other teams play, other players play, my idols and heroes play there. So, I think you would take a lot away from the Challenge Cup if you were to move it away. And, you know, I think people have a lot of options now. You know, with obviously the Catalans away trip, you've got Magic Weekend, and you know, I think, you know, there's a lot of choice for people. So I think we need to keep the be proud of the history that we've got that is at Wembley, and do our best to try and fill it. We've done it in the past, and we should try and do it again.
Just before I let you go and have a well-earned beer after your bike ride, where are you putting a sneaky 50p this weekend, Gaz? Who's your money on?
Do you know what? I can't really look past Warrington, but if you look at the form that, you know, that, or the way that what Catalan played in their semi-final, they were absolutely outstanding and executed a game plan to perfection in terms of the energy and the power that they played with, and that's their game. I will say, you know, having experienced it myself, it's the occasion that can be not so much the opposition, it's the occasion that can be your biggest enemy, and a lot, you know, in the build up to the game, probably playing the game over and over in your mind, and before you know it, I've been there and looked up at the clock with open that there's half an hour or 35 minutes, and approaching half time, you look up and there's about 10 minutes gone, and you're absolutely blowing out your backside. So it's that'll be the biggest challenge for Catalan. But hopefully, you know, like I said, they might have, I think they will have had a very low-key approach to it, and hopefully they can go out there and like I say, play like they did in the semi.
Brilliant, Gaz. Thanks for joining us, and good luck for the rest of the ride.
No problem, Aaron. See you later.
See you, mate.
Still there?
Robbie?
Yeah.
Just before we go to a break.
Thank you.
Just before we go to a break, mate. Prediction. Where's your money this weekend, Warrington or Catalans?
You know what? You know, I think Warrington, if you look at the team on paper, have got pound for pound probably the better talented team, but I've not seen them play with synergy once this year. I've not seen every game of them, mind you, but I've not, when they have played on the big stages, they've fallen apart. So I'm actually going to back Catalans. I like what I saw in the semi-final. I think they've been working towards this. So I'm gonna do something I never do. I'm going to back Catalans.
Brilliant, Rob. Listen, good luck for the rest of the ride. See you down there this weekend and go well.
Cheers, boys. Good luck.
See you, mate.
Cheers. Yep.
That was Robbie Hunter-Paul, the man behind this very show. And, of course, double cup-winning captain Gareth Ellis. Great of them both to join us. Leon, former teammate of yours, Gaz Ellis.
He was, yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, very good luck, yeah.
Great
yeah,
captain, I imagine,
more,
as well.
A lot more sensible than me. This is a very sensible blow, but really tough, very tough man. Very, very tough man.
Good stuff. Listen, we're going to go back into some depth with the Cup and Wembley and everything this weekend when we come back from a break, but stick with us. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show.
This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2. On 1278 and 1530 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show live on Pulse 2 with me, Aaron Bauer, Leon Price and Ross Peltier. We'll carry on from where we left off before the break, I think, boys. Challenge Cup, and something we mentioned to Gaz Ellis, which I want to get you two guys' thoughts on. The RFL have not been shy in admitting before that they've looked at alternative venues for Wembley. I think most people would agree it'd be the death of the Cup and certainly a big blow for the competition's credibility. Leon, as someone who's played Cup Finals in Wembley and played Cup Finals elsewhere, how does Wembley compare to your Cardiffs and your Twickenhams and things like that?
There is no comparison. I thought... I agree with Gaz. I did really like Cardiff. I thought Cardiff were unbelievable against Leeds with roof shut. I thought that were a special occasion. But I grew up the same as Gaz, was exactly the same age. You grow up watching your heroes, Martin Fyers, Ellery Anlis, Jess Robinsons, Tony Iroh, Kevin Iroh, all the players that you watch play on that golden turf of Wembley, the best stadium ever. You just want to do what they did. That's what you grew up wanting to do. So to take that away from a player's God-given... Well, not God-given, right, is it? But to take that away from a player, I think is a bit disastrous.
Ross?
Yeah, I don't think there's any other grounds special enough to move it to, you know. I could see the Grand Final moving to other grounds. Mm. I could see how that could work, but... Not Challenge Cup final, no. Historical cup, historical ground. I think it needs to stay, doesn't it?
It's hard. That is the Challenge Cup final is Wembley. Mm. Always has been and always should be. Don't ruin the history of the. Don't ruin it. It's that, you know, it's one special thing we've got as a Challenge Cup.
You're looking at the lowest crowd since World War II for a final this weekend, since 1945. Which obviously is a lot down to the fact that Catalans are there. Let's make that clear.
But we played Catalan in 2006 and it were a full stadium.
But it was the first game back at Wembley, wasn't it? Obviously.
But what's changed since then? Is it just because it was the first game?
Well, the crowds have dipped a little bit over years anyway. I mean, Hull played Wigan last year.
That's what I'm saying.
There was 69,000 there.
Exactly, that's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. So is the problem... Maybe, I mean, we were talking about this off air. Is the problem not that we should be playing it away from Wembley, but we should be playing it at a different time of year? You played in cup finals in May. I think we've said that people with families, people with kids, what do they do in August? Invariably, go away on holiday. You can't guarantee your team's going to be in the final, so you book holidays. April a smarter time to have the final?
If that brings in the bigger crowds, then move it back to then. Absolutely, 100%. Also, for me, get rid of the Magic Weekend.
Okay.
Scrap it. Scrap the Magic Weekend. Yeah. Put the priority and build up the Challenge Cup final. Get the crowds back. The people put a little bit of money in their pocket and advertise it and promote the Challenge Cup final and make it special again.
The difficulty, I guess this year's proven it. I think there were 8 weeks between the quarters and the semis and then 20 days between the semis and the final. They all... schedule is off balance, isn't it, Ross?
Yeah, that's why I say May, because, you know, the excitement's there, the fans have got the appetite for it. You know, it just seems like it comes, then it goes. Oh, then our Challenge Cup's back, and then it goes again, and oh, it's back now. I think it needs to be, you know, like you say, from start of season.
Yeah, regular.
Lower teams start in the pre-season times, you know, build it up. Then, you know what I mean? By the time we get to, like, May, we have the final, everyone's ready for it, everyone's still excited from it. So the quarter-final, like, 3-4 weeks just before the final, everyone's excited for it, isn't it? You know, So that could be one thing for it.
And everyone's, I guess, if you're playing in May, no one's rugby'd out, are they not playing? No. That's players, no. Coaches, yeah. Fans.
No, no,
your team's only played 8, 9, 10 games.
No. Yeah, everyone's still... That's a good point, you're not rugby'd out.
Yeah.
No, that's the main thing, isn't it?
I mean, I think you guys played 23 games.
Yeah.
Super League teams have played 25-plus Scrum Cup games.
Some fans by now could have gone to Catalan away, could have gone to London.
Yeah. Magic.
And could have gone to Magic.
Toronto.
Yeah, yeah. So you like you say, you're rugby'd out, aren't you?
I think a lot of fans now are looking at Magic's as the big rugby league weekend more so than Challenge Cup.
Which it should never be.
No. I remember when I used to go Challenge Cup finals when I was a bit younger, like it was a massive thing. Now it's shifted to Magic now.
Half and half. Some will go Magic, some will go Wembley, and that's why you're not selling it out.
And the problem with Magic as well is it's an uneven fixture, isn't it?
Of course it is. It's an unfair game.
Yeah.
So just get rid of Magic.
Get rid of Magic and put it back to May, is that what we're saying?
Get rid of Magic, put it back to May, and let's fill Wembley.
Yeah,
make it magical again. It's Challenge Cup final, man. What's up with you? It's the most historic trophy in rugby league. Is it over 100 years old?
More.
It's over 100 years old. It's the greatest trophy in the world to win. We've got more history than any of the Australian teams. Get it back to mash it up.
To be honest,
Ross, mash it up.
I tell you, to be honest, my most memorable Challenge Cups weren't even at Wembley. To be fair,
neither were mine. Yeah, mine were all at Cardiff and Murrayfield.
The Cardiff ones I remember, I see Leon, you know, turn it up.
Yeah,
so.
It's special, isn't it? It's special.
Yeah. In terms of one of the teams that are there this weekend, Steve McNamara said this week it'd be unbelievable, not only for French rugby league, but for rugby league in general, for a French team to go and win the comp. Leon, from what you know about Perpignan, if they go back on Sunday with the cup coming off the plane, what's that place going to be like?
We won't better get through airport.
Really? I saw a video when they won the semi.
It's only a tiny airport. That the old airport and the old Perpignan will come to a standstill without a shadow of a doubt.
And Steve was saying that, we were on about it's difficult to get to a final in August if you're in England, but apparently in France, the whole country just shuts down in France. Everyone goes away for holidays and stuff like that. Mm. And they're all about still bringing nearly 5,000 fans this weekend, so it's going to be loud, isn't
it? Is all they're bringing? Yeah. Five? Is that all? Right. If I'm just telling you now, if they win that game, the Perpignan will come to a standstill.
Yeah.
Completely not a standstill. Rugby's massive over there. I think it's great. I think there's so many bitter people out there that don't like Toronto, that don't like Catalans, what do they bring to the competition, blah, 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 blah. I just think, just be happy for teams that are doing okay. What would you rather see? Would you rather see somebody not playing all the kids and seeing rubbish rugby, or somebody playing... bringing players over like Greg Bird, Todd Carney, I don't know, could bring Inglis over, you know. But these superstars players come and play on your field.
Leon Price. Scott Giroux.
You know, they bring... Catalans attract big names, Willie Masons. And even if it doesn't always work out, it's good to go and be able to go and watch them players playing against your local side rather than paying kids 12 grand a year and watching rubbish rugby.
Has it been a surprise... I guess to both of you that they've obviously gone, the recruitment strategy since day one has been big Aussies, big names over here. Has it been a surprise they've not won anything before now? They've come close on a couple of times?
Not for me. It's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
Once you're there, you kind of see it. It's a lot more laid back, a lot slower. Life's chilled out. Everybody's relaxed. Everything closes at 12. You go home, you have your food, you have a starter, you have a dinner, you have a dessert, you have a coffee. You have a relax, you have a siesta, and then at 2 o'clock you go back to work and everything's slow. And so that's kind of ingrained in the French lifestyle.
Is that the biggest challenge for Steve to change
rather
than the way they play?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
100%.
Ross, do you think it'd be a good thing if Catalans get their hands on the cup this weekend, make some different headlines?
Yeah, it makes stuff interesting, doesn't it? And like Leon said, it'd be great for the game over in France. You know, I think France is an integral part to rugby league. You know, it's like ingrained in English rugby league. Yeah. You know, it's got its history there. I've played there. Obviously, I played against France over in Perpignan, and I enjoyed it over there. You know, the people there, you know, embraced it and took it in, and it's a rugby league place. So, you know, and I Catalan's one of them teams, like everyone's like favourite, like second team, you know, because you know
they will be this weekend, won't they? I think so, it's going to be packed out with neutrals.
I hope they do it, and you know, I hope they do well. And Steve Mack, you know, from round here, so Yeah, hopefully they do a job.
Big party in the hills, Leon, in Perpignan at Bernard's mansion, won't there, if Catalans win the cup?
Oh, Bernard will be god.
Bernard and his cleaver.
He'll be, oh, and his mafia. Bernard and his mafia. No, he'll be god. He'll be god. He'll be god over there. And he deserves it because he's done a lot for the club. He's a good figurehead for the club. He's a good character. He's crazy. He'll, if you play bad, he'll come into change rooms and tell you that you're nothing and that you're rubbish and tell you exactly what he thinks of you, which is funny, which you've got to get used to. If you don't win your games, he pulls you in for a meeting with you as a one-on-one. But I always got along with him. He's always been good to me, so I'd like them to win it just for him, just because he's a character and it's funny.
Just finally on Warrington, because I know we've not touched much on them. They are the villains this weekend. Everyone's going down wanting Catalans to win. But they're running okay. They're in the top four. Are they the favourites, do you think, boys?
I think it's a 50-50 game. I think it's toss of a coin.
I think whoever comes out on top out of Daryl Clark and Mickey Mack, that's
a
win.
That's a good shout. That's a good shout. And if they both play the way they did in the semi-final, it'll be the best final.
But I
in
think
a long
they can
time.
Both. They both. It's not about who cancels each other out, because Clark's a runner and a ball-taking ball line. Mickey's aggression and a tackler. Yeah. So it's kind of, if he runs and he defends real well, they're both going to be doing what they do, but it's not going to cancel each other out, if you get what I mean. It'll add to the game or make the game good.
And I think if the game's good, the crowd and the stadium almost becomes a secondary story, doesn't it? Someone said to me it'd be like Oasis at Nebworth, that there were only 100,000 people there, but a million have since claimed to be there because it was so legendary and so good. Yeah. If the final's great, everyone will probably look back. If Catalans win it by a point right at the end, everyone will go crazy.
Everybody, yeah, of course.
Yeah. I know you said it's toss of a coin just before we got to traffic. Predictions, boys?
Catalan.
Is that your heart?
No. If they play that semi-final, open my eyes.
Yeah.
Catalan by two.
Yeah, I think Catalan. I think Pelts' shout of McIlhoran v Clark, whoever gets on top of that battle. Clark got a knock last week as well, so I think Mickey Mack will be looking to get stuck in there. So, yeah, all going for Catalans, which means a Warrington win by 30.
Yeah. A bit like Bulls by 20 last week by Robin.
We'll look at Super 8s and everything that happened last weekend and the race for promotion relegation when we come back. But before we go to break, let's do the traffic.
On 12:78 and 15:30 AM on DAB Digital Radio and online at pulse2.co.uk. It's all about rugby league. This is the Robbie Hunter-Paul Show on Pulse 2.
Welcome back to the final part of this week's Robbie Hunter-Paul Show with me, Aaron Bauer, Leon Price and Ross Peltier, boys. We've already touched on Bulls working and we touched on the cup final. Let's get stuck in to everything else happening elsewhere, and I think the only place to start is Widnes, Ross. They're almost cooked, aren't they? They're gone.
I think they're gone already. I can't see them recovering from this. I think they've had the worst possible start to the middle eights you could imagine, losing to a championship side, and then, you know, Salford doing a number on them like that.
Have they got a tweak?
Well, no game.
We can't, you know.
I don't know, but I know they've still got to go to Toronto. They've still got to go to Toulouse. They've got to play Leeds. They've got to play Hull KR. They've got to play Halifax. And they've got to win, realistically, four, if not all five, to get in the top three.
It's not looking good, is it?
Three to get in the £1 million game.
They might get two against Halifax, that's it. Yeah. I'm seeing.
And they might win one more game. That's the beauty of these middle eights, though, isn't it? You start well. Salford, 2 wins from two. Leeds, 2 wins from two. They're almost there. Widnes, you wouldn't want to be in that camp right now, would you?
No, but it's nothing that we didn't expect, is it? Yeah. So it's only running to form. Yeah. Maybe off the last 18, 19 on bounce?
Yeah, I think so. But last year, they'd only won five all season and then they went and stayed up in the eights. This year, I mean, you could probably argue, having won five last year, three this year, it's probably time for someone else to have a go at Super League now, isn't it?
I'd say so. Mm-hmm. I think it's the general feeling around the Super League, would you say?
Yeah, I think that's where the same structure fails. You know, a team could run to that player failure all year and then, you know, get a few sightings on that last day and then, do you know what I mean? So
yeah, nobody's arguing with the structure this year if Widnes go down, because they've been clearly the worst team. You're right in that if Hull KR had somehow gone down, that's where there's a loophole.
Or Leeds.
But I don't think Leeds were ever really in that much danger. So if Widnes go down, someone's got to come up. Toronto and London have both got to win each. Who do you make nudging slight favourites in that race, boys?
I would have said Toronto before watching him against Hull KR, but then I wasn't overly impressed.
Yeah.
I don't know, but London won two against Leeds.
If that's the £1 million game, does it depend on with where the £1 million game is, because obviously travel to Toronto,
maybe
is massive,
isn't it? I don't think there's much to between two teams between if it were Toronto and London, there's not a great deal between them. But both teams would have to probably recruit well for Super League for year after if they want to stay in it.
Yeah. Ross.
Yeah, it's a tight one between London and Toronto, really. London looked well against Widnes. I think it's one of them games that could go either way. One of them £1 million games that could definitely go either way. But it'd be good to see two championship sides in the £1 million game where the outcome's positive.
Someone's going to be celebrating.
It's going to be celebrating. No one's going to be like, oh, because you know they're both championship anyway. So it'd be good to see that.
That's true. Yeah, but I think for me, when you watched London versus Widnes, you couldn't see much difference. Yeah. But Hull KR versus Toronto, you could see the Super League superiority.
Yeah. Right.
You could see it. And the same probably with Leeds and London.
Yeah.
So I think you could kind of see that they were Championship and they were Super League.
Yeah. Mm. In terms of the top eight, it looked a bit of a foregone conclusion when the league split. But Warrington have just wobbled a little bit with Wembley on the horizon. Huddersfield, 11 wins from 12.
Form team.
4 points off the four. You've seen them a couple of times. Did you see them last week as well?
I watched them last week
against Hull. How good are they at the minute?
Yeah, they're the form team.
Yeah.
100% form team. Nobody will want to play them at the moment.
Well, what's interesting is, obviously, with Cass beating Warrington, it puts Cass probably in the four. Warrington now only 4 points clear. They've got Hull the Thursday after Wembley, so they've got to back up and play Thursday after Wembley.
Luckily for them, it's Hull in a really, really, really bad frame of form.
But then the week after that, they go to Huddersfield. Can Huddersfield still make the four, do you think?
Yeah, 100%. Yes, they can, yeah.
Yeah, I think they can. What a difference a new manager makes, isn't it?
It's crazy.
Change of a camp. And it's the exact same team that was losing
literally
the start of the year, and they've turned around and now they're getting results.
I said, I've been in a clubs before, Bradford and Saints, where you've gone on, say, 12, 13, 14 wins.
You won a comp with it, didn't you, in five? Yeah.
But that's playing well during the year with a good team. These guys have got an 11-match win streak, but from losing 9 or 10 games on bounce...
I think they've still got the worst... They've still got the worst defence in the comp. That's how bad they were in the first 3 months of the year.
It's crazy. How do you do that?
It's ridiculous, isn't it? I'm going to ask you both as players.
I don't know. I'm not God.
Is it what the old coach was doing? Is it what the new coach is doing?
Yeah, from what I heard from people I know there, it wasn't a happy camp under Rick Stone. And I think this shows that it wasn't a happy camp under Rick Stone, because as soon as he's gone out of the picture, they've turned it. Maybe when Chris Farmer recharges,
but you know what? You know what losing does. Losing turns people into backbiters, to bitchiness, to people not being good people. Winning gets rid of all of that. So when you're losing a lot of games, people do not like each other. He should have done this. He missed that tackle. He's been lazy. He's gone on short side. He's not training hard enough. It breeds a horrible, horrible environment. So that's what would have happened. And that's why they wouldn't have liked being there. That's why they wouldn't have liked each other. Winning gets rid of all of that.
They've got this brilliant thing on the go as well. I think Chris Foreman put it on his Twitter that...
Last man in.
And they've got to put a tenner in a pot or something
as
well.
Jeremy McGilvery keeps on going last.
Well, yeah.
And he's the tightest man on earth.
I think you've said that. Yeah, the word is that he's tight and cramping.
He's pulled coach and asked for it to stop.
Has he?
He owes 100 quid. He owes 100 quid out.
I can imagine that with Jerry. He is very... Yeah, it keeps a tight hold on him purse-string.
Well, some of these videos are great, and they show the culture. Everyone's celebrating, everyone's joking, everyone's laughing, everyone's trying to point out who the last man is. And I guess, from a playing perspective, if the culture's right day in, day out, because you forget, usually as a specky, that it's more than about the 80 minutes, it's about what you're doing five, six times a week. If the culture's right, you're halfway there, aren't you?
The culture is... The biggest part of playing rugby is the 80 minutes is the last thing you think about. The most thing that I remember is all the training banter that we have and having good lads and good blokes and good people. And that comes first before the rugby. Obviously, rugby winning games is all that matters. But if you don't have the good environment, you won't ever win big games.
You saw him first hand last week. Who's standing out then, Leon?
O'Brien.
Really?
He's their best player at the moment.
Is he?
By long shot.
Bruffy rolling back the years.
Bruffy's controlling game. Gasso's playing okay. Clough is playing well.
Yeah.
Clough played really well. That's two games I've seen him play. But for me, O'Brien's he's the key man.
But I'm not going to profess
that. What's the new guy called as well?
Matagi, the big front rower.
Matagi's really good. And the other front rower.
Kumatai,
Leroy Cudjoe's come back, McGilvery, that edge looks sharp.
I think that's the big thing, isn't it? Leroy coming back
is a big
captain.
Thing.
Bruffy, I'm not going to profess to know him, but he looks like, if anyone epitomises and play better in a happier culture, that just seems to bring the best out of Brophy.
He's a maniac,
isn't
he?
Is he?
Hey, well, you've seen him. Have you seen him play?
Well, yeah.
He's cuckoo. A fire lad.
He's a kid. From my time at Huddersfield full time, he's...
Oh, were you there when Brophy was there?
Yeah, used to send us doing errands for him in that old time. He used to send me all everywhere doing stuff for him.
The eights are funny because obviously a few weeks ago, it can change quite quickly. Nobody wanted to play St Helens a few weeks ago. Look, they got back on the horse last week at Wakefield. But if it's Saints Huddersfield in a semi and Huddersfield are still playing like this...
Huddersfield are my favourites.
Well, Huddersfield went there 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Were you at that game as well?
They were my favourites,
You see Saints last week against Wakefield?
I watched them in the first half. I thought Wakefield's last play options were really, really poor, which gives St Helens a lot of easy field position when they were under pressure. Wakefield didn't find a way to build pressure.
Yeah,
they didn't put them Saints under pressure, and it kind of let Saints out easily.
That
I thought
is the story for Wakefield. I think for me that they're close against the big teams. They're always close, but they always fall short, don't they? And they look at probably a step or two behind the Wiggins, the Saints, and the Cassies, don't they, Ross?
Yeah, they do. You know, they're falling just that short. You know, start of year I thought they were going to kick on and do big things, but you know they've just been struggling. But they've got a good pack, but it's about, like Leon said, it's about, you know, building pressure and keeping pressure on teams and not letting them off the hook.
Is that probably where going out and getting a scrum half is probably Wakefield's priority? With that, I'm not nothing against Ryan Hampshire,
Ryan Hampshire's just the last players. I was just watching and they were running, I think they ran the ball two or three times.
Miller's not that kind of player.
You've just got to build pressure, roll it in goal, put on the winger's head, just put in positions where you want it to end rather than just finishing or turning it over and like boom, you're straight on back foot. And that gives St Helens easy field position. So you never built pressure and made them really feel it because you let them out and down at your end too easily. So maybe look for another halfback.
In terms of Saints, so I think we spoke about last week, they just needed to get back to winning ways and just calm everything down. Holbrook, actually, he's really calm as a person when he speaks to the press and everything, but he was quick to throw a little dig in, saying, you know, the teams that have lost tons of games this year, we've lost two and everyone's all over us, we're still all right. You know, has everyone overreacted a little bit?
No, not really. It's just, for me now, speaking as a bit of more of a pundit, it's good to get a reaction. It's good.
Yeah.
When your best team has been...
You find out about yourself
beaten,
when you're losing,
when you've
you?
Hardly been beaten all year and you lose to a bounce, people are going to say something.
Yeah.
We moan about but never being no stories in rugby league. That's what your job is to do, is to try and create a little bit. We want that, don't we? We want that, what's going on at Saints.
Yeah.
Even if it not is, it's something to talk about.
If you're the coach now, then, resting Barber up, get him rested up, get him right for the semis. I think they only need a point to win the League Leaders' Shield.
No, not really. I'd keep him fit and just keep him playing. Yeah, I don't believe in resting players.
No.
Daniel, even when Daniel were at St Helens, he'd play us all and then bring us off early.
All right, okay.
But keep us ticking over. Just keep your combinations.
I swear he said he'd rest players against York, didn't he?
But he said
he didn't believe in resting players.
Strongest team lay on next week.
No, you know why I'm doing that, Ross. It's just so you can't win. I'm only joking for all the crazy people out there that want to kill
not.
Me.
He told us off air, he's not. Are they still the favourites, boys, Saints, going into this last straight?
Yeah. If they get
they're the best team, are they?
But if you say that, if you said right at this moment in time, Wigan, Saints, it was the other team.
Cass.
You're obviously going to say Cass. Of course you're going to say Cass. But there's not much between them, really.
No,
is there?
Not at all.
There's not the 10 points difference at the original point table.
Nobody's talking about Wigan, are they?
Wigan?
Yeah, nobody's
They could do it easily.
Yeah. Everyone's saying Cass are the other team apart from Saints, and then Huddersfield are playing well, and Saints are the outright favourites.
Which is good for Wigan, because they've been there and done it, and they've got Tompkins and people like that who have been there and done it as well.
There's a lot of motivation.
A lot of lads like Bateman and that all want to go out on a high.
Wayne as well.
Sean Wayne,
Sean Wayne. So, you know, it could be a story for them going out on a big end to Wigan.
Yeah. Just finally, before we touch on, before we go out, one last word on the Cup. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to seeing how it all unravels.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a massive occasion for the French Rugby League. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. I always got to love Challenge Cup, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
And cheering on the Drax, Leon?
Absolutely. 100% support behind Steve and Bernard Gush and the Perpignan Mafia.
Mad Bernard.
Crazy Bernard.
They might invite you over to another party, Leon.
I hope so. Free flight, free hotel, free snails.
Maybe not, because you think you played the last time Catalans made the final, didn't you? Did you play against them?
I got man a match,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Just standing.
Thanks, Tom.
Brilliant. We'll be back this time next week, guys.
Listen back to today's show and all previous Robbie Hunter Paul shows at pulse2.co.uk. This is the Robbie Hunter Paul Show on Pulse 2.